precursor, I think, of what soccer in St. Louis not only can be, but will be in the not-too-distant future. My co-host, Jim Heuer, the director of sports at KTRS. Take us now the baton, my friend, and walk us through this miasma that is soccer.
This event tonight, I mean, downtown, there's a lot of people. I mean, the game of soccer is St. Louis, and it gives St. Louis an opportunity to showcase itself. It's going to be nationally televised. Joining us now is Senior VP at Fleshman Hilliard, Jim Woodcock, who's been with us a number of times. St. Louis soccer, just your thoughts before we get into all the other stuff that we're going to get into. St. Louis soccer, because you're a big soccer guy here in town as well. What does it mean to you?
I think it's part of our personality. I think, you know, well before the arch and well before a lot of things that we take for granted here in St. Louis, that we celebrate here in St. Louis, soccer was part of our DNA. No different than Anheuser-Busch and the Cardinals. It wasn't invented here, but it was naturalized here, I think, in the United States. And, today, the rest of the United States has caught up. I wouldn't say it's passes by by any stretch, but in, you know, we all like to celebrate the 50 team and so on, but really the decades after that, we were the epicenter of soccer in the United States, and that hasn't changed. I mean, I really don't believe it has, and we see that we see the response from a lot of soccer stakeholders throughout the United States and frankly the world. When you say that you're from St. Louis, they come to you right away with that look. You know, it's like, ah, soccer, and that's not unusual. It never has been unusual. It certainly is very common today.
As this event gets ready tonight, is this an event where you look at it and you go, I hope, and you study and say, what can we do better to put the game on stage here in St. Louis?
I think we've done a wonderful job over the last 3 or 4 years as it is. Really, I don't see that St. Louis has to audition anymore. When you take a look at the gates that we've had here, the matches at Busch Stadium, which Vicki Bryan and her team just miraculously pull off every year around the Cardinals schedule, around, frankly, a baseball stadium. Joe Abernathy and his team do a spectacular job. And then you have the match that we had down at the Dome, or a couple matches, actually. And then with St. Louis FC, we have some out-of-town reporters who went to the match on Saturday, and they both remarked to me, like, wow, I didn't expect that. That was spectacular. Not surprised again here in St. Louis. So I don't think we're on parade anymore. I don't think we're auditioning. I think the people that know the game and know MLS and that know that, you know, we want to be one day an MLS market and a franchise expansion franchise location, they get it. You know, maybe the common fan, you know, coast to coast, maybe doesn't understand it quite as well. But those who matter, I think the message has been sent.
This journey of MLS to St. Louis didn't just come up overnight. I think some people need to get some background information from you, because you've been part of a lot of different opportunities to try and get this thing moving towards St. Louis with MLS. This isn't something that just came up last week and people said, hey, we're going to build a stadium and put a team here.
Well, our friend Jeff Cooper over in Edwardsville did a spectacular job back, I'd say, eight years ago or so. Maybe it's like 2007, 2006. Yeah. So I'm not good at math, as you can tell, but he was pursuing Major League Soccer when it wasn't fashionable to do so, not only in St. Louis, but anywhere else in the United States. And he did great work over in Collinsville. He got a lot of public financing for a complex there, and the stadium would have been the centerpiece of a mixed-use location there for you know, entertainment and retail and so on. Got all that done. What happened was two things. One, he needed some traditional, if you will, investors, I'll call it big money, if you will, to sort of come with him on this journey. That didn't happen. And the second thing was his timing was just a little bit off, and it wasn't his fault. But as he began to gain traction and momentum, and as St. Louis did via Collinsville, then all of a sudden MLS started to grow in profile nationally. And you had Portland, and you had Philadelphia, and you had Seattle, and you had these markets that are today some of the, you know, the really strong franchises in MLS. They were coming out of the woodwork about that same time. They had some of the investors that MLS covets. You take a look at today, the composite of ownership in Major League Soccer is second to none in any professional sports in the United States and maybe the world. It's NFL light. You know, you've got the Krafts, you've got the Hunts, you've got Paul Allen, you've got Kroenke, you've got all these names here. And this is not a starter starter kit for people that want to get into sports. And Jeff was probably just a little bit behind in that.
Jim, great point you made about the NFL. And you not only are involved in the move to bringing an MLS team to St. Louis, but we're involved in trying to keep the NFL team from leaving St. Louis. Can you tell us a little bit what happened with the Rams? What happened with that?
Well, that question's probably better asked to the Rams. But I can tell you from our standpoint, what we did in about 14 months, and I say we I shouldn't count myself in that package there. That was really Dave Peacock and Bob Blitz and some of their core team members. But what St. Louis did over those 14 months will maybe never be replicated by any franchise, or I'm sorry, any city in the United States. We answered every call. We answered every challenge. We had $400 million in public financing for a riverfront stadium. We had the property under control. We had a naming rights deal that was commensurate with any kind of deal in the NFL today. We answered every call. And what happened at the end was the NFL owners voted differently than we would have expected and anticipated and wanted. But it wasn't for lack of success on our end. I bristle sometimes when I see headlines or lead paragraphs or the failed effort. There was no failed effort in St. Louis. Now, that needs to be made really, really clear. A decision was made that did not favor St. Louis. The effort wasn't failed. And the support for the NFL over the 21 years the Rams were here was not lacking. And frankly, I'll go back to the football Cardinals and wasn't lacking then either. We're a little star-crossed when it comes to the NFL here in St. Louis. But what we did learn from that experience was we can do a lot of great things in a short period of time, and we're taking that momentum and that spirit to move us through, you know, the Major League Soccer expansion effort.
When people are talking about a move to MLS, Jim, everybody's saying, well, St. Louis is trying to make themselves viable. And why is MLS good for St. Louis?
Well, why is Major League Soccer good for St. Louis?
Yes.
I tell you, it answers, I think, of the hunger that millennials have today for something that they can call their own. My son is 22 years old. He is not, to be very frank with you, he's not missing the Rams. He didn't miss them in January, and he doesn't miss them today. He wants, his friends want, something that they can call their own, that they can you know, sort of claim, I guess, for lack of a better word, and celebrate and invest their time and invest their money and Major League Soccer is that. I think Bill McDermott coined the phrase. It's the sport for a new generation or something to that effect. I'm probably not doing Bill a service here, but it is. And so that we have that void here a little bit. You know, and great. St. Louis FC is over indexing and being able to deliver that to this market. But what we're talking about when you think about a downtown stadium that seats 18,000, 19,000 or so, that is accessible by Metrolink, that's accessible by foot, you know, by the millennials who live downtown, all that sort of thing. That's what MLS can do for St. Louis, to say nothing of the fact there's about 18 or 19 matches a year, so it's a lot more than the NFL. So the restaurants and the bars and the hotels and the taxis and the Ubers and you name it, they feed off of that, and this is exactly what they want and need as well.
As far as the movement to make it happen, where is it right now?
Well, we're tracking extremely well. And admittedly, a little beneath the surface, I think a lot of people would probably like to have a little more information and know where we're at. I can tell you, I can assure you that we're in a good spot. Last week, the Major League Soccer All-Star Game was in San Jose. We had a delegation by invitation by Don Garber and Mark Abbott and the owners to attend events, private events, prior to the match on Thursday as well as the match. We were represented. To say that we networked there would be an understatement, and to say that we showed well would be an understatement. We did extremely well there. We are doing, I know it sounds like a cliche, but there's a lot of due diligence here, a lot, and involves it involves everything from the other owners in Major League Soccer to property to expansion fees and everything else. But when the time is right, and I don't think it's going to be too far down the road, we're going to come out and say, here's who we are. Here's the St. Louis bid as we know it today. And here's our vision. And here's what we're going to need from St. Louis to move forward and see this thing become reality.
I hear a lot of rumors from a lot of when you're reading things throughout the country. The one thing that keeps coming up is MLS wants St. Louis. Is that accurate?
I think it is. I'm reluctant to speak for MLS.
Right.
But I can virtually tell you I know it is. We provide so many things that are good for Major League Soccer. The television market is a top 20 television market, so we're excellent in that respect. We are a market that's mature, so we don't need to introduce the sport and wonder how it's going to work here in St. Louis. We got that down. There's the obvious geographic advantage where we can go to the east, we can go to the west, but in wherever conference St. Louis will be placed in, we know one thing for a fact is all of a sudden two cities are going to hate us, and that's going to be Kansas City and Chicago. Both those markets, both those teams really lack a natural rival. We'll drop right in the middle, and we'll have the derbies, and the I-55 derby and the I-70 derby. That's going to happen, And again, if you take, and frankly, to some degree, perhaps as well as Dallas and Columbus and some other regional markets, and Minneapolis is coming in the pipeline as well. There's a lot that Major League Soccer, and also we've got a great business base here and consumer base, and our demos match up exactly with where the league wants to be.
Is it a downtown stadium? Is that a foregone conclusion?
I would say foregone is probably too strong, but it's the strong preference of Major League Soccer. It's by far the strongest preference here. We've done a lot of homework here downtown. We have a very, very intriguing site that the league likes. So that's where, frankly, it belongs. I mean, we need to be urban, and we need to be, again, something that addresses the next generation, and that's not out in, complexes with 10 fields and all that sort of thing. Those things are great. We need those. But that doesn't work today probably as well as it did 15 years ago for Major League Soccer. They want to be part of renewal. They want to be part of the new landscape of downtowns, and that's where we want to be as well.
Jim Glidcock is our guest. Jim, for people that might be skeptical that, here they're pitching this thing, and what's in it for us as fans, can you tell us or give us an example of another city that before they got an MLS team, they didn't have a tradition, they got an MLS team, and it became something that really glued their community?
I think Portland is a great example of that. Now, Portland's had a soccer heritage, so I don't want to sell Portland short there. The Major League Soccer redefined it and took it to a completely different level. I think Columbus is a great example of a city. It's one of the original fathers, if you will, of Major League Soccer. And the reputation and the profile of Columbus is such that the United States men's team, that's where we want to play our qualifiers against Mexico, because it's an impossible place for our biggest rival to come in and play. You take a look, at other, cities, for instance, like Philadelphia and Washington, D.C., some of the more mature markets, they're still kind of figuring themselves around. They've got a lot of different sports in those markets, and it works there, but it's not like Vancouver, it's not like, Seattle, it's not like Portland. Salt Lake City is another example, of a city that is at a different level because of Major League Soccer. So St. Louis, we don't have to apologize for our sports profile here whatsoever. That said, we bring Major League Soccer here. It redefines it. I don't think it'll take it to a completely different level.
A lot of hurdles, as you said, and some things to be taken care of yet. What's been the most difficult part of it so far?
Well, with Major League Soccer, to be frank, I'm not sure we've had hurdles that have been daunting. It's been more deliberation, it's a very cautious, and I say cautious, I don't mean to be afraid,
right.
but it's a very deliberate process, and so we're taking time. We don't have all the time in the world, so when I say we're taking our time, it doesn't mean that, we think that this opportunity, this window is going to be here in perpetuity. That would be incorrect, but Major League Soccer knows where we stand on things, and we're proverbially checking those boxes right now, the things that we need to do before we really roll out and say, here we are, and now we're raising our hand, we're ready to go. I can't say, to be honest with you, Jim, that we've had a huge hurdle, challenges certainly along the way, but more of it's been in the routine sort of aspect. It's like what we expected to have to do, we're doing.
You mentioned timetable-wise, just a quick thought. You can't speak for MLS, I get that. There's a new group that's coming in with Atlanta and Minnesota. and the next group? Is this going to be it for a while? Is that where you think, well, we need to get this thing moving?
I kind of get the sense that, they want to get to 24 teams by the year 2020, and we would be ideally in that group. I know that Sacramento's got a lot of traction right now. Detroit sort of came out of nowhere, and they've got some really impressive ownership candidates there. But I don't think that any market is as attractive as we are. I do believe, though, that we do need to show, if you will, we need to come forward, and we need to be at our best when we do come out here. And the league, I think, will react positively. Again, the league isn't mystified by anything we're doing. We're in constant contact with the league. So, I think that we would like to be part of that next two-team set that comes in. At the worst, the next two-team within that 24-team, league.
Final thought from you. You got people listening right now. They're excited. You know, Jim's talking about MLS and when and if and what's going on. What would you tell people, patience or what to look for next?
Patience. When I hear the word patience, I think maybe I got to really be patient. I may have to wait a year, 2 years, whatever. I don't think patience is what we need. I tell what we do believe in is word of mouth. We believe that does count when you're coming out of church and you talk about, hey, have you heard the latest on MLS? Or are you into it or whatever? I think that does matter. We don't underestimate the effect of grassroots. I also know for a fact, that what we do, how we support St. Louis FC, which is all the time. In other words, how many home games, that does, they look at that. I mean, you take a look at the markets right now that have Major League Soccer that grew their reputation through USL. Okay, so we want to be in that same company. Now, granted, we're doing very well there. I think the support's been outstanding. Let's not take that for granted. You got to come out and cheer on this club. But I don't think you can ever underestimate the effect of talking it up, and especially the kids on social and Facebooks and Twitters and all that sort of thing. We have a hashtag MLS2, the number 2, STL. Any conversations you're having on Major League Soccer coming to St. Louis, hashtag MLS2, STL. It's just the groundswell does matter.
Interesting.
Jim, thanks so much for the work that you're doing, and it'll be really exciting the first kickoff day, wherever that stadium is. Hopefully it's within eye shot of this.
It's from eye shot from where we're at, because we're on the 26th floor.
That's
so
right.
We can see it.
And if not, we'll go over to the arch, and then we'll see that one from there. Thanks for the work that you do. Thanks for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Good to see you.
Jim Woodcock, everybody. He's working as hard to help St. Louis grow as anybody in this town. We appreciate his time. Check in with Tim Weiland. How are the roads, Timmy?
All right. Well, they have cleared the accident that was on eastbound 5570 before Highway 111. That traffic has all thinned out, basically. But if you're traveling into St. Louis, westbound 6440, you are jamming up now from Jefferson. That goes all the way out through Bellevue. You've got southbound 170 jam from Olive down through Highway 40. We do have an accident reported now on Jeffco at Highway 141. Also, another accident. It's causing some problems. Eastbound Highway 270 past 170. Now, that's on the right shoulder, but traffic is still jammed back to McDonnell, and then that goes all the way through Washington Elizabeth. Southbound 270, slow to stop-and-go areas between Page down through Doherty Ferry, and it looks like eastbound 44 going through that work zone. You're jammed up between Laclede Station and the Arsenal Overpass. And this traffic report brought to you by Unbound. We all got to where we are through hard work and little help. A little help. Open a word or world of opportunity for a child or elder dreaming of a better tomorrow at unbound.org. From the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095.
I'm here today to tell you that I'm running for governor of Missouri.
So Eric Greitens is not only not embarrassed about this, he's proud of this leaked phone conversation.
Tell me where you're going to be. Tell me where you're going to be.
Eric,
where are you going to be tomorrow?
Listen, my friend.
I'm asking you a question, John. Where are you going to be tomorrow?
Eric,
are you afraid to meet tomorrow?
You have Eric Greitens, on the other hand, essentially threatening an old man.
Jesus, you're such a coward, John. I said you're a coward. That's what I said. You're such a weasel, man. Oh, my God. You are such a weasel.
Was he auditioning to be the voice of the killer in Scream?
I can't wait to see you in person, my friend. I cannot wait. I can't. can't wait to see you in person, John.
I think it came across as making Eric Wright sound a little creepy and crazy.
AM on Monday.
John, tomorrow!
And it goes on like that for 10 minutes.
Missouri deserves a leader, not a bully. This August, anyone but Greitens. Paid for by Patriots for America. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Here we are in the midst of a St. Louis summer. How is your air conditioning working? Well, if it's working overtime to get the optimal temperature for you, maybe it's time to call Premier Heating and Cooling. They can come out and do a quick check on your system to make sure it's operating properly in this St. Louis summer heat. Now is the best time to call Premier Heating and Cooling to make sure it is ready for this summertime. Ask about their maintenance agreements. Premier Heating and Cooling is a member of the Better Business Bureau. They have a high referral rate. The majority of them are new customers and referred by current customers. Call Premier Heating and Cooling to ask about utility rebates that may be available as well. Besides making sure your air conditioning is working properly, have you considered your indoor air quality? Do you suffer from allergies?
Achoo!
Oh, Gesundheit. They can help you with that too. So visit Premier Heating and Cooling. Give them a call at 636-916-1122 or online at premierheatingcooling.net. It is Premier Heating and Cooling at your service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Men, if you're like me, you appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. The sort of shave that cuts clean, without the burn. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack, when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? And if saving money and a clean shave isn't incentive enough, Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. Our way of saying thank you for trying us. How are we able to save you all this money and still give you the best shave you'll ever enjoy? By owning the factory that manufactures them. That's how. So go to Harry's.com right now and enter code 1313 at checkout. That's Harry's.com, code 1313.
Conservative Mike Parson is a Law and Order Republican running for Lieutenant Governor, and that's why he has been endorsed by the NRA. Parson is a United States Army veteran who served for 12 years as Polk County Sheriff. And Parson's been endorsed by the St. Louis Police Officers Association and numerous sheriffs across Missouri. As Lieutenant Governor, Mike Parson will give our law enforcement officers the respect and resources they need to protect us. Conservative Republican Mike Parson knows that the recent shootings of officers across our country are another wake-up call for America. Parson is a law and order conservative who is committed to standing with the brave men and women who serve on the front lines to keep our communities safe. As a former officer with 20 years of experience, Mike Parson will work hand-in-hand with Missouri law enforcement to protect your family while defending your Second Amendment rights.
Paid for by Parson from Missouri. Rachel Appletrader.
In 1957, my father partnered with Junior Nelson and opened a fence company that installed all types of fences. I'm Chuck Easter, and along with the third generation of Easters involved in the company, and 58 years later, we are Easter Fence Deck and Renovations. We offer complete home remodeling services, including siding, windows, and doors. 314-892-8500. That's 314-892-8500 or easterfence.com.
This is Larry Connors, and I think I drove by your house the other day. It looks great, but I noticed you might have some shingles missing and maybe some other roof damage. Take a moment to call my friend John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Take care of it before everyone else starts calling, before the thunderstorms start pounding us. That way, next time I drive by, I won't have to worry. I'll know your home is protected. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Call us first. If you're thinking about refinancing or moving, call Vincent Mortgage first. Knowing up front what you can afford opens up a world of options. Let us help you find out in as little as 8 days. Rates are still at historic lows. So if you're looking to buy a home or pay off debt, you got to call now. 314-839-9999.
Come visit us at 12801 Flushing Meadows Drive, St. Louis, Missouri, 63131. NMLS number 225.
5095. Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
from Liverpool.
They'll be here tonight. Ringo's playing goal.
Is he?
No.
Okay.
Back on our special football show, soccer show, the Roma team playing the Liverpool team. We're preempting the large morning show. Thank you for everybody for listening to both myself, Scott Sherman, and Jim Hewer. We had Jim Woodcock just earlier talking about the progress of the MLS team. We already have a soccer team at St. Louis, and a pretty darn good one. Jim, tell us about our next guest.
Next guest, general manager of St. Louis FC, our USL team here in St. Louis, Jeremy Allenbaugh. Guy I've gotten to know quite a bit over the last year and a half. Good guy, good friend. We enjoy what we do when we're on the air together. We have lots of fun, and I would tell people their next match is Wednesday out at the soccer park. Come out and join us. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff. The team from Kansas City, Swell Park, will be in town, so a little bit of a rivalry matchup on Wednesday, but come out and support your local team. That's the bottom line here.
You know, I haven't been to a game yet. I got a 9-year-old here who loves soccer. Be happy to go. But I will tell you this, and I'll pay you a compliment, because I'm very impressed by your marketing, your logo, the look, the colors. It's incredibly professional. It looks like one of the Major League Baseball, NFL, NHL teams. Not just the marketing aspect, but the entire way that you have sort of attacked having this club in this town seems to be first class. How do you assess that and the response by the fans in town?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that we learned, we had that year and a half of startup time before the first season, and we went and did some site visits, and probably the biggest takeaway was Sacramento said, do everything major league. Don't act minor league in any way you do. So we really slowed down with our logo. We slowed down with some of the, you know, what was our first year slogan going to be? It ended up being see you at the park, which right. We say to each other all the time. You know, it had a call to action and, you know, had a lot of those things. So we took our time. We learned some good lessons along the way. The league USL is, you know, they opened their book and, you know, there's not many secrets amongst the teams. It's a really open relationship with everybody. So a lot of good information and in our leadership too. I mean, you know, anytime you're working with, you know, Jim Cavanaugh and Tom Strunk and those type of guys, I mean, you know, they're pretty calculating how they go after things. So we were, you know, we had a plan. It did surprise us. We were not expecting it to be what it is now. But, you know, we are happy with the road that we've started here.
And surprised in a good way, because I'd asked you off the air, but I'll ask you again. Are you surprised at how strong the response has been from the fans in this town?
A little bit. I'd be lying if I said no. And Jim knows me well enough. I'm not going to come here and fill you with lies. You know, I think we, you know, certain parts of it we knew St. Louis was ready for. It was ready for something, you know, something else. You know, soccer had been gone for a while, and I think we were jealous. We saw Kansas City have great success. You look all the way down over to the West Coast, you see Portland, and you see what they have on a game day, the tailgating, the atmosphere, the smoke bombs, the chants, and we wanted that. And, you know, but we were definitely surprised. You know, there was bits and pieces of it that we weren't, you know, we weren't fully ready for the numbers, but we adjusted quickly, and once we found out it was going to take off, and you know, we jumped in.
I know this, Jeremy. You mentioned surprised, but the community is really gelled, and you've had to because of a lot of incidents that took place. I mean, let's just go to the soccer park alone with the flood in the off season. This community is really gelled, come back together, and it's the soccer community. You know, it's growing because of that.
Yeah, and like I said, that you know, they were hungry for it. They're hungry for something more. I mean, there's such a great tradition, and it's one of our core values for our club that we stand for is a tradition. And I think so many times, you know, with tradition, you can get caught up in it, and you can, you know, wait, and you just kind of live off of that. And we had to make some new things, but the community's come together in so many ways. Look at our uniform. You know, we took a lot of heat when our first uniform came out because it wasn't our club colors. It wasn't green. It wasn't blue. It was a navy kit with some red piping and yellow numbers, and it's a city flag for St. Louis, and we made the decision because St. Louis was going through a really rough time when we were making that decision. We said, you know what, maybe this is a small piece that can help our city and our area, and through that and the flood, and you see the support we get, it's been nothing short of amazing.
It's a team. It's St. Louis's. I think that is the neatest thing, and I think people need to understand this isn't a team that somebody brought in outside money and they're going to be here a while and leave. This is St. Louis's team. That's important.
Yeah. It's, you know, and it starts with a good core of St. Louis players. It starts with their leadership. Starts with what we built it upon. We knew we had to get a hardworking team, an honest team. We've had to make some adjustments, in year two, and I think it's worked out well so far, and we're excited. But, you know, it is here, and it's not going anywhere.
Right.
And, you know, there's no plans for us to, you know, if we don't get certain seats or if we don't redo the soccer park, we're not picking up and moving to Des Moines. That's not happening. We're here. And it's a good level of play. That's the other thing. Everyone I talk to, whether it's a quote-unquote soccer snob, you know, they'll be playing those here tonight or whatever it is, if they come to a game, they're like, wow, I had no idea. And we got guys that, you know, played on national teams for New Zealand, Jamaica. We got great guys from St. Louis. So it's a good level of play. And then the teams we play against, that's not even talking about how good they are. So this is not a glorified men's team. And I think people have come, they see it, and there's something for everybody, and they love it.
Talk a little bit about that, because I think it was last year that there was, is that the Hunt Cup? You guys went on on a run that surprised a lot of people, even the soccer mafia or the soccer snobs or whatever you want to call these.
We call them a lot of things.
Throw me off this bench here. But that kind of got a lot of people's attention across the country about your club.
It did. And the Open Cup is, there's a lot of tradition in St. Louis with that, because, you know, teams have won it from St. Louis before, and it's, you know, it's an open competition. And so, you know, we had a chance to play Minnesota at home, and we won. And the way we won it was really what was special. It was penalty kicks, and, you know, some people like penalty kicks, some people don't. But it's there's finality, you know, and there's drama. And we won, and then we got a chance to go over to Kansas City and play the big boys, and, you know, in front of 19,000 people. And we put a good performance out there. And I think that, you know, opened some eyes that, you know, this isn't just a bunch of, you know, young guys and, you know, guys that are dumb. These are soccer players. These are pros. This is what they do every day. They don't have other jobs, and this is what they get after. So that was a fun run. It was that game to Swope was special.
Yeah, it was very fun. One thing I think I'll mention, this is me talking, this isn't you. This isn't practice in the park league. This is global soccer here. And as you mentioned, the entire league itself, USL League, there are players from all over the world. It's not just guys from the States. I think that's what people who haven't been there yet need to understand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, every team's got some international guys, and many of them with World Cup experience, and, you know, have played all over the place, and national team experience, and, you know, it's a good level, and it's a level that, you know, someone who comes out for the first time, they're taken back. It's not MLS. I'll be the first one to say that as well. It's not. There is another level out there, but ours is a pretty darn good level of play.
This match tonight, you're a Liverpool guy.
Just a little bit.
So, there's been a whole bunch of things going on with Liverpool fans. Just give us a sense of what's going on with the Liverpool gathering here tonight.
First of all, it's like if there's a Cardinals game here, because all you see is red. And that's that's no slap to the Roma fans, but, you know, I mean, and we joked about the office today. There's going to be a lot of us walking around. So, you know, the lucky thing is the Premier League is during our off season, so to speak, the downtime. So typically on Saturday mornings, I'll get up early from over in Illinois, jump in the car, drive down to Amsterdam Tavern, and there's a group of us, the official Liverpool supporter club from St. Louis, and we watch games. I don't go to the 7 a.m. games. I'm not that crazy. I'll make it there for the 9 a.m. and watch it with my friends.
Well, that would be ridiculous.
Yeah, that would be crazy, right? And so we had a gathering last night, and we had, you know, Robbie Fowler and Luis Garcia, you know, two famous Liverpool players, you know, two legends came, and,
right,
you know, and so we did some stuff, and there'll be, you know, a whole section behind the goal tonight, and they'll chant and cheer. I'll be in there for a half. That's probably all I can do, but it's pretty unique to see.
Jim and I talked a little bit about it, but as third-party observers and maybe historians, we talked about the 96 and what happened in 1989. Can you, as a fan and also somebody that's connected to the Liverpool fans, what was that event like, and what does it mean to not just that club, but to the city of Liverpool and its fans all over the world?
Yeah, so for me, you know, now we're so connected to everything, right? You can watch any game in the world on your phone or whatever. But back in the day, there weren't many games, and Liverpool was always on. So that's how I became a fan. They were pretty good, too. Lying if I said I didn't like them, because they were good. You know, and then I remember when that happened, seeing it on the nightly news, you know, and seeing the pictures. And having been over there probably about 6 months before on a tour with a team and saw some games, went to the stadium, you kind of got an idea that, you know, these things could happen, unfortunately, and it did. And I remember seeing Sports Illustrated, the article, and it's something that, you know, the club has never forgotten, and their supporters and the city has never given in to, you know, what was, you know, what some of the supposed facts were. And it's a pretty touchy thing. The documentary that ESPN did, the 30 by 30 a couple years ago for the tragedy, it's just, you know, it's something special that binds a lot of people together. And, you know, sometimes through tragedy, you know, you get great strength. And I think as a club, you know, they were able to get through some years that way. And then we had the whole ownership mess up that we made that mistake. And now luckily we got a better group in. So it's, you know, it's something that keeps us all together. And, you know, there's not a person here who wouldn't, you know, have a story of either hearing about it for the first time or seeing it or, you know, having someone that was affected by it.
Jeremy Allenbaugh, general manager of St. Louis FC, with us here. Your favorite Liverpool moment, or maybe one or two, since you've been watching for a long time now.
Yep. So
we're all getting older.
Yeah, we are, man. And we haven't won a title in a while either, so that's a problem. But I was sitting, so I was living in Springfield, Missouri, sitting on my couch watching the UEFA Champions League final. We left. I was working for a club. We left. Came to my house to, you know, grab a bite to eat. Me and the two other guys in the office. One of them was my brother, who lived 3 houses down. And boom, goal against. Boom, goal against. Boom, goal against AC Milan. And my brother's an Arsenal fan. He got up, laughed, left. Went down the street, and then all of a sudden, here I am texting him, you know, hey, we're coming back. He comes walking back down the street, walked in, and that was, I mean, just remember screaming and yelling in my house, and, you know, Sydney was like, I don't know, you know, maybe 2 at the time, and she's taking a nap, and it was just, it was a really special, you know, just, I'll never forget where I was, and I told the story last night, sitting on my couch at in my house, and those are the memories, and that's
absolutely
what, you know, you try to grab to, whether you're a Cardinal fan, Blues fan, you hold on to all those things.
We earlier we were having lunch, of course, at Hooters, where you would take a 9-year-old.
Of course.
And there were some guys from Liverpool in there. One of them from Liverpool who's flown over for the game. His son lives in Cincinnati. Told me they had 55,000 people at one of their games.
35.
He said 55. Yeah. Those Cincinnati people are a bunch of liars.
They're not trustworthy.
Yeah, they're not.
I asked him, I said, point blank, I said, sir, he's a guy in his late 50s, early 60s. If you historically had to eliminate one thing from Liverpool, either the Liverpool Football Club or the Beatles. Before I got the sentence out, he said the Beatles. Goodbye to the Beatles. It means nothing to them as opposed to this soccer club. Is it like that, really?
It is. I was over there. I haven't been to a game over there. I've been to the stadium when I was coaching SIUE. We took a tour over in 2010, and me and a couple players that were Liverpool fans, you know, that we had a day off and we were walking around the city. We jumped in a taxi and went and saw the stadium, went to the shop, did all that. And to see the gates with the flowers are there from the tragedy and the memorial and those stuff. Yeah, I think they kicked the Beatles to the curb in a heartbeat over their team. And, you know, I'm a rock and roll guy, but I'm not a big Beatle guy, but I'm definitely a Liverpool guy.
Bring it right back to the States, to St. Louis, and let's talk about St. Louis FC. What's the best compliment that you have gotten from a parent or a fan about going to the game that you either weren't expecting or that you were hoping for?
So I can't answer that with one. I'm going to give you two. It's a true, authentic soccer experience. It's not hokey. We're not shooting T-shirts in the crowd. We're not blaring music over the speakers. It's, you go to a real soccer experience. That could be Kansas City. That could be Portland. That could be, you know, Manchester. It could be Liverpool, anywhere. And then you come to the park, it's very authentic. It starts with the St. Louisans. They make it real. Those are real supporters. Those are people that live and breathe and bleed for that club and care. And then it's just carried into the fans. So I think it's authentic. That'd be the first one. The second thing is, there is something for everybody. And I always say this, and Jim's heard it 20 times, and I'm going to say it again. Whether you're on that awkward first date, whether you got 2 kids in tow and it's just you and, you know, and your son and daughter, or it's you and the wife looking to get out, or you and 5 buddies looking to do something different, we have something for everyone. And you may love craft beer, and we got that. You may hate craft beer, and we got AB products. Well, we can take care of you. We have something for everybody, families, kids, true soccer people that aren't sure about soccer yet. And so those are the things that you get. When you get someone who's, you know, their first time, and they tell you, man, that was real, that was fun, or, you know what, and we've had Rams season ticket holders that don't have a team now, and now they've joined us, and they've bought season tickets, and they're like, man, this is the most fun I've had in 5 years, and those are special things to hear.
Next match is Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Give the folks a little preview of what to expect on Swope Park in town.
Swope Park's good. So are we, though. That's what I told the coaches today. They're in there going through the scout. Oh, this guy. You know what? We're good, too. And we split with them so far. We beat them at home 3-0. We lost up there 1-0 on an early goal. They've got some talent. You know, they're connected to an MLS team, so they got some good young international talent that they brought in to see if they can make the jump to MLS. They're athletic. They're pretty organized. You know, but it should be a good game. And, you know, we're neck and neck in the playoff hunt. We're both in the playoffs right now, so it's going to be a good test and a good matchup for us. So it should be exciting. Both teams like to play, and it's a pretty good level.
StLouisFC.com, that's a place to go get your tickets. Come out and join us on Wednesday night. It'll be a fun night.
You know what? Sounds like a wonderful thing for people to just go do, especially the crowd like me with the big mouths that say there's nothing to do. In St. Louis, there's St. Louis FC.
Yep, absolutely.
Jeremy, thanks so much for joining us. I know how much time you spend with Jim, but to come on to Frank's audience and share these stories and your passion for this with a different audience, new fans.
We appreciate it. We're fans of KTRS and everything you guys have done for us, so we appreciate everything.
Right. Good stuff, Jeremy Allenbaugh.
Jeremy Allenbaugh, thank you so much for joining us. Let's check in with Tim Weiland with the last traffic update.
Meet me.
Timmy, come get me with the helicopter.
I wish. All right, Scott, if you're coming in on eastbound Highway 44, you're really jamming up from about Elm through the Arsenal overpass, and that's due to they've got it narrowed down to just two lanes. They're doing that road work, so that's causing the big delays there. Folks coming in for the soccer game, if you're coming in on eastbound Highway 40, you're slowing now approaching 141 through Mason. You're going to find some slow-to-stop-and-go pockets now between Clayton Warson in through Big Bend. It looks like westbound 40 is still jammed up from Grand out through Bellevue, and then we have an incident just west of McKnight that was blocking a lane, and that's got traffic slow through that area. Eastbound 270 still jams up from a little bit south of McDonnell, and that goes through Washington Elizabeth. Southbound 170 stop and go from Olive down through Highway 40, and it looks like westbound 70, we're still on the brakes from approaching 141, the Earth City Expressway out through 5th Street. This traffic report brought to you by McDonald's. Love the drink run and treat yourself to any size shake, like the cool and creamy, always dreamy Arctic Orange Shake. For just $1.99, price and participation may vary for a limited time only at McDonald's. From the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center, Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
It's coming soon. The Nestle Purina Radiothon to support the St. Louis Men's Group Against Cancer. All day Thursday, August 18th on KTRS. Listen for details. KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 225095.
Mike Parson says he's a conservative, but his insider record says something else. Parson has accepted almost $50,000 worth of free meals, free professional sports tickets, and free trips overseas from Jefferson City insiders. But that's not all. This year, Parson voted to raise our gas taxes by 35%. He sponsored tax credits that benefit his own business. And worse, Mike Parson slipped an earmark into the state budget to fund valet parking for his car at the state capitol. Enough is enough. Thankfully, we have a choice for Lieutenant Governor Bev Randles.
Growing up on a farm in southeast Missouri taught me the values of life, liberty, and a good education. I'm pro-life, I support the Second Amendment, and I strongly oppose one-size-fits-all education standards like Common Core.
Proven conservative leader Bev Randles for Lieutenant Governor. Paid for by Missourians for Randles.
Addiction can affect every family and every neighborhood. That's why there's ARCA. Find out more at ArcaMidwest.com. Whether your family is in the grips of a heroin addiction, maybe it's alcohol, maybe you're a working professional that has an addiction problem, ARCA has outpatient treatment programs as well as short-term and long-term programs to get you back up on your feet. I've seen it work myself. To find out more, 314-645-6840 or ArcaMidwest.com.
Here's a special message for those of you who owe the IRS at least $10,000 or more in back taxes. The IRS has special programs in place that could eliminate or reduce your tax debt by thousands of dollars. With a call to National Tax Helpline, you can stop the wage garnishments, levies, and tax liens now. Take down the number now for the Tax Helpline. 800-708-4718. That's 800-708-4718 for free information. 800-708-4718. 2019.
There are five significant expenses that could cripple your lifestyle in retirement. Find out what they are and how to protect yourself on America's Wealth Management Show this Saturday afternoon at 1, right here on 550 KTRS.
Now we just got a couple of minutes left, Jimmy Huer. Soccer show.
Yeah.
Thanks to all the Large Morning Show listeners for hanging in there with us.
I'll be back, by the way.
Frank and the gang will be back tomorrow.
Yes.
For the regular 3 to 6. I'll be on Thursday in the 4 o'clock hour. And you, pulling double duty, you're coming back for a little sports show.
At 6:30, we kick off the big sports show. Brendan Weese and I'll be here at 360 till 8 o'clock. And then we'll have the Danny Cox Outdoor Show. Lots of baseball talk with the trade deadline today in Major League Baseball. Brendan and I, and also Jennifer Langosch, beat writer for the Cardinals from MLB.com, our guest in the 7 o'clock hour.
Exciting. And then for those of you who want to come down and watch this football match between the Roma team and the Liverpool team, kickoff is at 7:30. It's beautiful out. Come on down. You know, Jim, I try to think back to my days as a kid playing soccer, and I think what stands out the most for me is not just the playing, but is as much as it was just a vacation of a kid who was from out of town that went down to Wash U at this Francis Field and watched a bunch of guys whose names he didn't know, I was excited about that old St. Louis Stars event.
Right.
And I can only imagine what this 9-year-old little guy Dylan or his friends or whatever, to have a team of their own. They have the Cardinals, they have the Blues, but to have a sport that they play and that they love playing, I think that would be really exciting.
It means everything if you're a kid playing soccer in this town. You go, hey, those are the guys I get to go watch. That's my team. And they look up to them. I did it when I was a kid. It was the St. Louis Steamers. So St. Louis FC is going to be the same
thing. And
they
can do it now. Thanks to Jeremy Allenbaugh from St. Louis FC. Jim Woodcock for coming by to give us the update on the MLS team. Thanks to you for listening. Jimmy will be back after the news. This is the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.
In your car, on your way home, need to know what's happening? This is a simulcast of Fox 2 News at 6 on the Big 550 KTRS St. Louis.
You can count on. This is Fox 2 News at 6.
A Berkeley woman says her car was stolen while she was at an art event here on Cherokee Street. We'll tell you why she desperately wants to get that car back home.
St. Louis County officials expect smooth sailing during tomorrow's primary election, the new tool they will be trying out.
Big time rains in central Missouri this morning. We were kind of on the edge of that, but there's another batch ready to develop and move our way.
If you love art but are unsure of how to incorporate it into your home, have I got the solution for you.
But first on Fox, a Berkeley woman is the victim of a vehicle theft that has left her heartbroken.
That's because she was using it to help her heal from a family tragedy. New at 6 tonight, she's now reached out to the public for help. Fox 2's Shondrea Thomas has the story you'll see only on Fox.
Enola Peavy says someone stole a truck that she says means everything to her, especially things that were left in